Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Robbie and Rex Road presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Nick Bumgardner from The Athletic to the program. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Doing awesome, man.
Good.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Nick, you know, in the aftermath of the Super Bowl, you know, Titans fans are salivating because they saw how dominant Seattle's defense was, and they said, you know what, let's just load up on some edge rushers here, of which the Titans don't have very many at the moment. So, as you're looking ahead to this draft coming up, particularly at the top of the draft with the Titans picking at number four, what do you make of the options that are going to be available then? Potentially, you know, Arvell Reese, but Reuben Bain, a lot of Titans fans are curious about. David Bailey, a lot of Titans fans are curious about. What do you make of maybe those two guys specifically?
Yeah, Reese is the one where I guess it'll be the most interesting to see where he goes, because, you know, it's either him or Caleb Downs for me, probably the safety there at Ohio State, as the top prospect in the draft. But, you know, I would assume the Raiders are going to go, with a quarterback there, and I don't know what will happen at 2 and 3. Both those teams obviously need quarterbacks too. I doubt that, you know, I would take a quarterback that high, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. So if he slides, I mean, that's possibly, you know, a complete game changer for Tennessee down there if he could fall, as he is the closest, probably the closest comp we've seen to Micah Parsons since Micah Parsons. I mean, he's got all of the same traits. He can do different stuff all over the place, and, you know, he's just scratching the surface on what he can be. Beyond that, you know, if he doesn't slide, you know, Reuben Bain or a David Bailey would be probably the next two that I would look at. Bain is the one that I gave him to when we did a 3-round mock on The Athletic earlier this week, and he's the one that I go back and forth on, honestly. Like, there are days where I feel like Reuben Bain is an absolute lock, top three pick. When you watch the end of the season, how he played through the playoffs with the physicality he brings, he can play inside, outside. He's pretty relentless when he's on and engaged, but there's also been stretches on his tape where he's not. He also has pretty short arms. Some teams look at him more of a three tech than an edge, but, you know, it's going to be all about scouting and you know, getting to know him and all that stuff too. So interesting options. Bailey is more of a pass rush specialist, whereas Bain would be your probably a three down weapon if he turns out to be the guy you think he can be. So, certainly good options though for Tennessee. They've got a lot of interesting ones there, and who knows, maybe that's even a trade spot if things work out the right way.
So Nick, you and Scott Docterman also had a mock not long ago, and you in that one you had the Titans going with Tate, Carnell Tate, yep. Wide receiver, Ohio State. I'm biased because I watch Ohio State games and I watch like the other receiver on the field for them. And I'm like, he's not as good as that dude, but like, is Carnell Tate in your mind, is he a receiver who's good enough to be a top five pick?
Yes. I mean, it's a weird conversation. It's hard to explain sometimes because you're 100% right, Joe. Like, Jeremiah Smith is incredible. He's the most talented football player in the country as a sophomore. He might have been as a freshman. I mean, like, he's going to be, you know, maybe the highest receiver. You know, I guess Hunter went so high last year, whatever it was. But he'll be in that era next year when he comes out. But the hard part there is, you know, you can't really compare him to Tate necessarily, I don't think, because, like, Tate is also an outstanding and my elite receiver. I mean, when you look at everything he did this year, opposite Jeremiah Smith. Smith is, you know, he got all of his touches. He had 85 catches, whatever it was, for over 1,000. Tate still made big plays consistently. I think he had 1,000 yards when it was over. He got better at everything. And when you just look at him on his own and don't compare, he's a 6'3 guy who's big, physical. He can run like a small guy. You know, he can bend and do all those things. He blocks. He's just a classic Ohio State receiver. You know, anybody who knows the Big Ten and follows that over the last, 10 years, whatever it's been. We just saw Jackson Smith and Jigba there in the Super Bowl and all those guys. It's the guys that are detailed and everything that they do wind up at Ohio State, and Tate's, to me, he's another example of that. So, I mean, it's kind of your flavor. You could have Tate. There's also Jordan Tyson from Arizona State. Mekhi Lemon from USC is another one that people are into. So, you know, for me, Tate is barely receiver one in this class, but I think him and Tyson are both guys that would be intriguing up there and possible top five picks.
Well, you mentioned the quarterback part of this. It's really interesting heading into the year because I think everybody expects Mendoza to go at number one. And I think most people expect Ty Simpson to be the second quarterback taken. But then the question is, well, where's that going to be? Like, is that going to be higher in the first round? Is he going to slide all the way down maybe into the 20s? What's that going to look like with Ty Simpson? And, it's weird, Nick, because like every year we start talking about that and then somebody like inevitably reaches on a quarterback at some point, it seems like. So how do you view the Ty Simpson part of this?
It's going to be interesting. It's to me, it's like a cross between the situation we saw with, they're not the same player, but the situation we saw with Anthony Richardson and the situation we saw with Jackson Dart. Like, I feel like he should be more like a Jackson Dart was looked at last year by teams, where the quarterback needy teams in the top 10, you don't do it. You don't need to do that in the top 10. If he's there in the 20s, you want to make a trade up like the Giants did and go get him, do that. I think that would be how I would look at Ty Simpson. But, the thing of it is when you look at some of these teams up there, like if the Cardinals decide they want to make a change, or if the Jets decide they can't go another day without a quarterback, and they convince themselves, like the Colts did with Anthony that year, that, hey, we're just going to do it. We're just going to take him up here. That just becomes kind of a blind dice roll, because the problem with Ty Simpson is everything that we see from him that is really intriguing and good has only been in 1 year, and it was only kind of in like half of a year. He had, I would say, like 70% of last year was very, very good, and then the other 30% was really not good. And the 30% that wasn't good was down the stretch when it was really important. So, I don't know if he's totally ready yet. In a perfect world, to me, he goes down there to like Pittsburgh or something, gets to sit the year, and then next year you see what you got. Like, I mean, that's, I think, what Ty Simpson is right now. I think he's definitely a talented player who could be a really good starter, but if I'm a team up there in the top three, it's going to be really hard for me to pull the trigger.
So sticking at quarterback, Nick, Trinidad Chambliss is still, he's still got hung up in the courts and possibly trying to and the NCAA won one yesterday. How about the good job, NCAA? But trying to get another year at Ole Miss. But you guys or you believe he's QB3 and maybe even a guy who could push. I mean, I think you had him going high second. In the mock you and Scott did, is he a guy who even like again with the some seemingly inevitable QB reaches going on, all of a sudden find himself in the first round and be happy that he didn't win his court case?
Like, he's the most interesting one to me in that whole group, because, like you said, Joe, like I really like him. I thought he reminds me a lot of Cam Ward, actually, in like the improvement track that we saw. Like, he just gets better every single time he plays, and especially in college, it was like the big games down the stretch, he was better. He didn't shrink. He just seemed to get better as time went on. And I could understand why he, went after the NCAA and wanted to get more money there, or want, another grab. Because I think he would have, if he could have came back and played one more year, number one, he would have been able to, get paid a fortune. I think somebody would have paid him more than he would have made, if he signed a second round contract, whatever it would have been. But he also would have been in conversation for, I think, QB1 for next year. But as it is, I do think that he's a guy that, worst case scenario, if he does what he needs to do, stays healthy, and performs through the evaluation cycle, I think he's probably going to be someone who flirts with the top 50, top 75. And maybe, you never know. I mean, if he presses, like Garrett Nussmeier helped himself a lot at the Senior Bowl, but he also had an up and down, kind of a choppy year. So, it could be in the eye of the beholder type of thing. And his case, Chambliss's case, is just so interesting because he's trying to get as many options as he wants, I assume. But like the money that the college teams are offering is more in cases of a quarterback than you would be making if you were, pick number 40, I would think, in the NFL. So, really interesting. It's a lot like what we see too in college basketball, I think, right now with some of those guys. So the draft decisions have been super interesting, and his is the latest, I think.
So Nick, the Tennessee Volunteers really could have used Jermaine McCoy on the field this year.
They
That
could
never
have,
happens. So they really could have used him. So as a Tennessee fan, it was very painful not having him out there. Now, I think everybody I've seen basically has him as a first rounder. I'm just curious from your perspective, how difficult do you think it will be for Tennessee or for NFL teams to evaluate him, given the fact that he didn't play last year? I mean, the last time we saw him, he looked really, really good, but that's been over a year ago with an ACL injury tossed in between.
The combine, I feel like, is going to be huge for him. This reminds me a lot of what we saw last year with Will Johnson, the Michigan corner who ended up going to Arizona pretty late. Will Johnson was the top 20 talent who just sat the year, didn't play. Will didn't have the type of injury that McCoy had. McCoy had a pretty serious surgery and everything else, but he never came back. You know, he just sat and he didn't do anything at the combine. He kind of hid and didn't work out, and he fell like a rock because of it. If McCoy, to me, if he goes to the combine and he's healthy and he can test and he can show and, you know, confirm sort of some of the stuff that we saw on tape of what he is as an athlete and everything else, then I do think he's going to be fine. I do think he'll be a first-round pick. I don't know if he'll be the first corner taken. You know, the Delane kid from LSU had such a good year. I mean, he could move in front of him, you know, some of these other guys do. But I do think he's got such, you know, last year when we saw him as a big, physical, do-everything corner, I think that's too hard to ignore if you get him at the combine healthy, competing, doing everything he can do. Like, that's such a big thing. Last couple of years, we've seen a lot of guys try to dodge this. They go to Indianapolis, oh, I'm hurt, my leg, whatever. And then, you know, it doesn't work. These teams want to see you go there and compete, especially if you sat a year or sat half the year. Caleb Banks, the kid at Florida, is a good example. He missed most of the season with a foot, but he came back at the end, played like one game at the end, maybe one and a half, and then was really good at the Senior Bowl. And everything you hear now from scouts is like he's right back in the top of the, you know, top half of the first round. Teams are back in love with him and the whole shot. So for McCoy, I feel like it's going to be an important spring for him to show, A, I am healthy, and B, I'm not hiding. You know, like I was too hurt to play legitimately. It wasn't because I didn't want to show bad tape or whatever it was. Like, I think that'll be important for him because the talent is there, but we have to see, you know, what the rest of it shows, I guess, coming through the next couple of months here.
Yeah, I mean, if you have no film from last year,
Right.
and then you're gonna sit out left, to me, you've got a bad agent. Like, that's just that should be a
And that's what
no-brainer.
the Will Johnson thing, it was like screaming from the rooftops last year. It's like, this guy's getting bad advice. He's being told to hide. You cannot do this. Like, even if you go run a time that you're not in love with, you competed. You went out there and you gave it your all, and if you're banged up, whatever. Like, I've seen guys go to the combine and work out hurt and end up being better thought of by scouts in the long run because they competed. And I think that that's something that sometimes gets lost in the wash, at least the last couple of years anyway.
So, Nick, one thing Tennessee Titans fans, I think, are sick of seeing and don't want to see is a high offensive lineman choice. However, I would still argue that, you know, they have another Band-Aid at left tackle right now. It looks like, you
Right.
know, the left tackle they drafted is going to be their right tackle. So my question for you is, Amawi Goa from Miami or Afano from Utah. If that player is the, you know, either of them, I'm sure at least one of them will be there for the Titans
Right.
at four. Is that a, is, are either of them a good enough player where it's like, you know, this is a anchor your offensive line for a decade kind of player, and you really need to consider it?
Yeah, I do think both of those guys are, you know, especially Fanoh, the kid from Utah, and really Maui Goa too. He's a warrior type guy. I think both of those guys, Maui Goa especially, I think Fanoh's better, but I think from a culture standpoint, Maui Goa is one of those guys that could come in and help you get serious, you know, help change your culture, help do all those things. Fanoh was a guy that could play right or left. He could play guard. He could play anything. He's the best athlete of all the tackles. I think he's the best tackle in this class. But both of those guys, I think, have really bright futures, and they would be hard to pass on if I were the Titans. Because right now, when you look at everything, you know, we just talked about all the edges, and they do need, you know, help over there, obviously. But I mean, the goal number one probably for Tennessee right now has to be, we got to get Cam Ward comfortable. You know, you got to get him, you know, going, and you got to keep him on the right track to where at least he's having a chance to get, you know, improved and you know, to be close to the max out, you know, whatever prospect you think you have there. So to me, it's like you can't totally ignore. That's why the Tate thing was something that I thought about the whole way. It's like, you got to be looking at what you can do to help Cam Ward as much as anything else. And if a great tackle prospect like that, if Fanoh falls, or if you like Maui Goa more, and it's one of those things where you just can't ignore it, you get to draft night and it's like, we just got to do this. Like, I would not ignore that, because I think Tennessee's at such a critical spot right now. You took the young quarterback before a lot of people maybe would have, right? Okay, I like Cam Ward. Everybody kind of likes Cam Ward. But you got to do your job now around him to make sure that you're not kind of ruining it. So it's important that they don't ignore even though it might be boring or, we've done this already, whatever it is, it's important that they don't ignore a really, really good player just because, well, we don't really want to do that type of thing necessarily right now. So I think they're in a tricky spot in some ways. But also, guys, if a tackle like that falls, that could be a trade market too. Like, I think that a trade, they should be looking for trade options too, I think, as much as they can to get some more bites at the apple here.
Joe's on a mission to have them draft a tackle in the first round every season. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
At some point, it'll work.
At some point, you're going to get one. Yes, exactly.
That's
All right.
right. Nick, you're always very kind with your time. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right. You bet, fellas. Take care.
Absolutely. Nick
Thanks, bud.
Baumgartner, our guest here on the Robbie and Rex Show. We'll react to what Nick had to say coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to the Nashville Hoops Showdown featuring the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Virginia Cavaliers coming up on Saturday. Tip off at 7 o'clock to caller number 3, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Ohio State, Virginia coming up at Bridgestone Arena this Saturday. You may or may not find Joe Rex Road courtside with a foam finger out there. We'll see how it goes.
You never know.
You never know. We'll see how it goes. Appreciate Nick Baumgartner for being with us in the last segment. Joe, a couple of things that stand out from that interview. Number one, we've talked a lot about Carnell Tate and whether or not he's worthy of being chosen number 4 in the draft this year when you consider who he was playing with at Ohio State. And is he really one of those Ohio State receivers that's going to come in and be a star in the NFL? Nick Baumgartner seems to really like Carnell Tate. So that was probably the number one thing that stood out to me there. We talked about Jermaine McCoy and his journey. And also, Baumgartner is on Team Rex Road that, hey, if one of those two tackles is there at number 4, you better consider it if you're the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, so I mean, Nick, I think Nick basically is like draft them all, draft anyone. No, it was a lot of interesting stuff there, and that I guess it made me feel a little better about Carnell Tate. Like again, it's hard, and again, maybe that's just the wrong way to look at it. But it's like, how could that guy be the number 4 pick when that guy is over there, and there's such a difference? I guess the one thing I would ask, and I can't sit here and pretend to know, but like, did Jeremiah Smith occupy so much coverage that like things got considerably easier for Carnell Tate this year? I don't
I
know.
don't know.
I do know that if I was defending Ohio State, I'd probably put a lot of eggs in the Jeremiah Smith basket, but. That was interesting, and yeah, let's. I say the tackle stuff. It's kind of trolling, but I'm not kidding. Like, if there's a great one that you can get, what a difference that makes. And then all of a sudden, you could be talking about one of the really promising young offensive lines in the league. Again, some of that still depends on Latham, like. Latham's got to have a year 3 jump like Skoronski did. But if you did have that with Skoronski, and now with your legit 10-year left tackle, all of a sudden it's like, okay, this is one of the really good offensive lines in the league. And a lot of the comeback stories or rebuild stories that are successful in this league do start there.
They do. They also eventually involve a probably a pretty good edge rusher and wide receiver at some point along the way. And I just think you're in a spot right now where it'd be very difficult for me to pass on one of those edge rushers that could be available there, whether it's Bailey. I would rank them this way. I like David Bailey. I'd probably go Reese second, and then I'd have Bain third. I know that there are other people that totally have that flipped, and that's fine. I think you're going to have some really good options at number 4 from an edge rusher perspective. It would be very difficult for me to pass on one of those guys.
No, I'm a huge fan of Bailey, so no complaints at all if they draft David Bailey. But I guess, okay, so if you are going by the big board, and it's just as a player, you have one of those tackles as just a better overall player than whoever's there from the edge, than Tate or whoever's there for receiver. How
How
do you
much
not?
better?
Well, I don't know. I don't even.
Well, that's
It's a fair
seriously, like, that's
question,
what
but
I
I
would
don't
be
know.
asking. Like, how much better?
Yeah.
Because, you're also in a situation. It's not like they can't. I mean, maybe they can't. I don't know. It's not like they can't get by with Dan Moore for another year. I mean, he is under contract. He's gonna be there next year. It's not like they can't get by for another year. Whereas I'm looking at edge rusher and wide receiver right now, and I'm like, who's he throwing the ball to, and who's rushing the passer besides Jeffrey Simmons? I know you can't make your entire decision based on that, but I'm just saying, like, how much better are we talking? Because to me, it'd have to be pretty significantly better than like the lineman would be for me to not go edge or wide receiver there.
Yeah. I guess if you're splitting hairs, then you can go more to need. Again, it's just like if it goes away, I think it's going to go. Okay. Yeah. Dan Moore can play this year and probably be okay. Not great, but okay. And then there you are. Then so you are talking about, I guess really some of the whole thing also is, as much as you can look at next year, project it. You hope that you're not at the top of the draft again, but there's a ton of tackles in this draft. Is it going to be deep next year? Like, there's a lot of things that go into the conversation. But to me, for it to be a non-starter, I think would be a big mistake. Because it just, if you're that high in the draft and you're not trading out, and I'm with Nick that a trade out, if you can do it, great. But if you're not, then like it really, when you have this many needs, straight up best available on the big board, I think is often how teams also get better because they just go with the best football player.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A victory for the NCAA yesterday. We will get into that. We got the Rob rant coming up later this hour. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Register today for Stars Trivia Night at Boomba's in East Nashville on Thursday, February the 19th. It'll be a night full of fun, food, and prizes, all while supporting Stars Nashville, a nonprofit providing free mental health support for students at over 200 schools across Middle Tennessee. For more details and how to register, visit thegamenashville.com/events. We will have the Rob Rant coming up here in just a few minutes, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, a victory for the NCAA, which hasn't happened very often. Charles Bediako, who we've talked a lot about with the University of Alabama over the last few weeks, can no longer play for the University of Alabama. He had his preliminary injunction denied in a Tuscaloosa circuit court that will prevent him from continuing to play for the Crimson Tide, which overrules the temporary restraining order that he got last month for immediate eligibility. So the Bediako situation, we've talked a lot about, Joe. He is now no longer eligible to play, marking a pretty big win for the NCAA when it comes to their eligibility rules. What do you make of that? And in the aftermath of that, Joe, I guess we'll get to this here in a minute, but what do you do if, like, you're the committee with Alabama with the Bediako information that you had while he played and some of the wins that they've had? And now that he's not there anymore, like, what do you do with all that if you're the NCAA, if you're the selection committee moving forward?
Yeah, well, the NCAA is not going to do anything with it. And Charlie Baker basically said as much. And again, you remember the TRO still did have in there, like, you can't have retribution. I think that, so it's not like they're going to vacate the games. I mean, the selection committee, I mean, I don't think it's going to have a huge impact. I mean, they're going to more judge them on the games that he didn't play. I mean, like, you could go back and say maybe they would have lost to Auburn or whoever, they would have lost to Texas A&M without him. But ultimately, most of the seasons without him. So most of the evaluations without him, anyway, it's five games. And then there's going to be a lot from now until the end. So I don't know that that really, matters too much. I don't think they're as good without him. So I think just some results from here to the end may not go their way that might have gone their way, just because, especially as a rim protector, they just don't have anybody. They don't have a rim protector or really like an over-the-top lob guy like him. And so that's the impact. But yeah, this is a big deal because, I mean, look, we were heading toward, and I think it ends now, maybe not, But like Amari Bailey, and we were heading toward all these guys who had played in college basketball, even if they'd been in the NBA, just be like, all right, well, I'm going to go back and make some money in college basketball. So we at least have a lot. I don't understand why Alabama fans, like some, and Nate Oates don't seem to understand this. Look, I'll listen to Nate Oates. He's talking about, well, what about the European professionals? And, like the Baylor kid, for example, was in the G League. But again, remember, he also was never in college basketball. You start the clock, it's an eligibility rule. And if you forego your eligibility when you go to the draft, you forego your eligibility. That's why this was different than all the other ones, because he was in college and said, I am foregoing my eligibility. Let me raise my hand. I'm choosing to go to the NBA. Okay. Well, you can't then sue your way back in. And if it would have worked out, then I think we would see all kinds of wacky stuff. So does this end that stuff? I hope so. I mean, it's because, again, it's already there's fair discussions to be had about the European pros and whatever, but that's kind of been an accepted thing, right? Like we've kind of accepted that. I mean, Alabama's AD is out here saying these guys were making millions in Europe, and now they weren't. Or they wouldn't be playing in college basketball. But regardless, they're pros, and I mean, that's a fair discussion. It's still different than I'm in college sports, I'm leaving to go to the pros. Oh, no, I'm coming back. Thankfully, that a judge correctly looked at that. And some of their arguments were so dumb, too, if you read the case. And like the judge said, well, this doesn't deny you making money. You were making money there. Go make money there, right? So good for the judge and good for the NCAA. They needed a win here. And again, I think the sport needed a win here. This was one of those that most people were like, no, you can't go this far.
Well, every now and then it's nice to see common sense win, right? Like
Yeah.
sometimes that doesn't happen, and every now and then it's nice to see that. Everybody outside of the University of Alabama saw this situation and it was this is stupid. Like the idea that this guy can go play, sign an NBA contract, play in the G League, and then all of a sudden decide he wants to come back and play college basketball, it's just ridiculous. So the fact that they put a stop to this is awesome. I hope that this is the end of it and that there's no more of these situations that come up here. Hey, look, I understand these young kids, which is what they are. They make decisions sometimes, and there have been how many times in whether it's basketball, football, whatever, Joe, how many times have players made decisions about heading into the draft that were just so dumb, right? There are plenty of football players we can go up and down the list of yeah, you probably should have hung around in college a little bit longer rather than taking a shot at the draft and you going in the sixth round and then being out of the league in 2 years, right? Like that, the history of college football, college basketball is littered with those examples. Sometimes, though, you got to live with that decision, right? Not everything is just handed to you all the time. And the fact that, you're going to the NBA and go to the NBA G League and then you want to come back and play college basketball to me is ridiculous. And look, I guess to some degree, I understand the European argument, but guess what? Those leagues aren't the NBA. Like, it's the best league in the world. So to me, even that's different. So I am very glad that this is ruled this way. The NCAA is probably throwing a party today, Joe. It's probably the first court case they've won in 10 years. So congratulations to them.
Yeah. I mean, this is the, well, they've won. Yeah, there's some other, the eligibility stuff has been denied. And that's really like the one area where there are some judges saying, okay, well, these are the rules. You laid them out. And yeah, why would you break this? It's like, as long as you're not, again, denying someone the freedom to make money in this country, then you have a chance. So, but I'm with you on all that stuff. And the thing is, I think one of the good things about this era is that we do have a lot more of these college athletes who are like, actually, I'm going to stay in college.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it's like, hey, Hunter Dickinson, how old are you and how do you still have eligibility left? And obviously, that goes into like COVID stuff. You had that extra year. I mean, there's actually some like ninth year senior apparently right now. Now, it was injured for 4 years, but still, it's like,
Sure.
holy cow. But we do have more people are like, why are you making a risky decision, when you
Yeah.
can make good money? And so, like, I don't remember, like, Betty Ako was on that Final Four team, and I don't even remember him leaving or whatever, but like, boy, that is a bad move at that time. you're not an NBA big. I
Yeah.
mean, you're a G League big. So stay at Alabama and make that money, you know? So, and I'll, you know, another thing here, and look, I'll give Nate Oates credit because he was asked the other day, like, well, if he, because they're like, well, he wants to come back and get his degree. Okay. Someone asked, okay, well, if this gets denied, are you still going to pay for him to get his degree? Absolutely, 100%. Well, you better, sh you should, and good for him. But also, that hurts the court case because the lawyers are trying to argue that he would be screwed. So it's like in the midst of, I mean, it would be absurd for Nate Oates to be like, nah, he can't play. Get out of here, dude. You can't use the study hall. Get out of here. Like, you can't do that. But at the same time, that's how some of these lawyers go way too far, like with these arguments, like people are going to be cast out in the cold, and then it gets exposed, and that's part of why you lose too.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Matt on the text line asking, do you think that athletes staying in college longer will affect rookie contracts? I don't think so. Like, probably depends on the sport, but like the rookie contracts have actually gotten better in the NFL, right? Remember the contract that Jamarcus Russell got when he was drafted by the Raiders? And it's like, good grief. Look at how much money Jamarcus Russell's making for the Raiders, and that worked out well. I'm glad he got it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, for the most part, like, I don't think there's going to be too much impact. Yeah, that's the thing. It used to be in the NBA too. It's like, I remember Glenn Robinson when he came out, got like an unbelievable number as the number one pick, and then eventually through collective bargaining, they made it more a scale, so it's not going to be absurd, but it's still more money for more people. It benefits more players, but it's not like super high at the top.
We'll have the Rob rant coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
There's really only one time yesterday where I was visibly angry.
Oh no! We would not tolerate that sort of behavior in Knoxville!
I saw the quarterback at the press conference almost cried.
It's my quarterback.
I'm not threatening anything. I'm just telling you, man. Sometimes it does need to be violence, okay?
Wanted to punch my television screen.
All I can do is just F-bomb my way through it.
Fart ye, I won't do what you tell me.
I've got other words I can say, but I'm going to hold those off.
It is that time. Time for the Rob Rant here on the program. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Today, Joe, the Rob Rant is going to serve more as a public service announcement, so bear with me here a little bit. If you could see me right now, you would see my right leg propped up on this table that's next to my setup right now. Like, it's been sitting here for an hour and 48 minutes straight. It's kind of asleep at this point, but I was in a pretty significant amount of pain this morning because yesterday I got a spot on my leg cut out that it turned out to be invasive melanoma. So if you are pasty white like me in particular, pay attention to this. So I had this spot on my leg that had been there for years, and I'd really never thought anything about it because, you know, I'm 30 some odd years old. I've never really had that many health problems in my life. Certainly haven't had cancer or skin cancer. So I didn't really even think about it. And then one day I was just kind of looking at it and I was like, you know, that doesn't look right. Let's head to the dermatologist. So early January, I go to the dermatologist. I get the spot biopsied and it comes back as stage 1A invasive melanoma. So obviously that was pretty stunning that I had, you know, skin cancer and a pretty serious type of skin cancer on my body. It got cut out yesterday. The reports from my doctors are all good, which I'm very thankful for. And that's all good to see and all that stuff. So I think we got it all, and I think we're in good shape right now. I'm going to have to monitor my skin moving forward. But, Joe, the message is pay attention to your skin because if had I waited much longer, this could have been a way more serious situation than it is. And, you know, I had not really thought about this, which I should have before this, but, you know, the process of when you get the spot biopsied on your skin to when you get your results back can sometimes take like 2 weeks. And I will tell you, especially for somebody who never done it before, like sitting there waiting for them to tell you whether or not you had cancer on your leg is a pretty, like, it's pretty challenging. Like, you start to think about everything. I was like, you know, I'm 33. I've got a 2.5-year-old. I've got a wife. Like, what happens if this is, like, a big deal? Like, what happens if this is bad cancer? Like, you start to think about all those different things, all those different set of circumstances. And again, I'm very lucky. Like, the results have come back, and I'm in a good spot, and I think everything is going to be fine. I know there are plenty of people that get results back that are way worse than me, so I am very cognizant of that. But my message to everyone today, Joe, just pay attention to what's going on with your body, on your body, because sometimes if you wait around too long, it's too late at that point. And I'm very thankful that we got mine in time. But it's been a heck of a start to 2026 over the last few weeks.
No, it's a great message. We're all thankful that you're okay. And, you know, the thing about this story to me that stands out is that you independently looked at it and said, no, let's go in. I mean, that's a big deal because, I mean, I think a lot of people – like a lot of people wait or a lot of it takes a little more than that. And I could raise my hand too. You know, it's like, sometimes it's like, you gotta be a little bit more proactive and a little bit more, vigilant. So great job doing that. Cause, I mean, I think sometimes when these things, you know, people just get to them too late, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, melanoma, yeah, that's not a good word. That's a scary word. So yeah, don't envy that time period for sure, man. Of, like you said, like the thinking about it, worrying about it. But this is it's a great message for people to like, to pay attention to yourself.
Yeah, for sure. And again, like, yeah, that spot, it's amazing. Like looking back through pictures, because the spot on my leg had been there for a long time. Like it's a very, I guess, slow moving melanoma, but it had been there for a long time. I'm talking, like, I found pictures, Joe, from like 2020 where it was there. And you're talking about over 5 years, so 6 years at that point. So, you know, I don't know exactly when it started to morph into melanoma. It may not have been melanoma the whole time, but like just that spot and how weird it looked, you could see it like growing and evolving. So just pay attention to some spots on your body. And if you see anything that starts to change, that's when you really, the alarm bells need to go off and get it looked at. And look, I mean, the statistics say that most of the time when you go in there and get something looked at, it's not skin cancer. I mean, your body does have, you know, full disclosure, I got another spot looked at and it's not cancer, right? So like your body does have moles and spots that change all the time. But if you start to see some things that are changing pretty rapidly, just go get it checked out. Could end up saving your life.
And I'll add to that, and this again, maybe we're like the generational differences. I mean, I think back to the 70s and like how people used to just sit in the sun and just put like suntan oil on and just cook like bacon, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I used to go
Kramer
out as a kid.
Style?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Kenny Rogers roasters.
Like, I used to go out and just go outside. Yeah. And it's funny, like as parents, like when the kids were little, like it's like, just come here and I'm just going to put this huge glob all over you. And like, but for me, I wear a big bucket hat and just, I when I go in the ocean, I have a long sleeve, like, you know, whatever the heck that's called, sun resistant shirt. I mean, it's, and that, man, just that stuff is, I mean, we all love the sun, but it can be very damaging.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Well, Robbie, I'm glad you're all right, man. This is so weird, by the way, because, like, we have zero cancer in my family. Like, it's just, heart attacks kill us. That's our favorite, is heart attacks. But my dad, like, the last couple of weeks, he was like, I'm going to go to a dermatologist just because, like, we got moles and stuff. And they go through with, like, a little bitty magnifying glass. I'm sure you had the same thing. And looked at every single thing on him and then found the exact same thing, found melanoma. And he had his cut out last week. So, like, I'm hearing this. I'm like, God, dude, it's so weird. I'm glad that you're all right, man. Yeah, I'll be thinking about
it. Thank you. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, like it's, you know, of course, you know, in the immediate aftermath of it, Joe, there's like after they pull the first spot, you start looking around all over your body and like, well, does that look weird? Does that look weird? And, you know, you can drive yourself nuts doing all that. So I try to stay away from that. But, you know, I'm very thankful. You know, I believe that I was kind of protected through all this. And, you know, I'm thankful it turned out the way that it did. But again, like, just pay attention to your body out there, particularly if you see some things on there that are changing in a not so natural way.
And I assume now, because I do this like every 6 months, you're probably going to be in a rotation of just being checked now, right?
Every 3 months for the next
every
year.
Every three, yeah. Yeah. And that's a great thing, too. Like, when you let them do it, they're just like, doop, 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 doop. Okay, see it. You know, and it's like, good. I don't have to wonder about it, you know?
Exactly.
Doctors are good.
That's my message today. Not much of a rant, but it was sometimes a public service announcement is needed, Joe. And if you are as white as the snow that we got a couple of weeks, like I am, in particular, pay attention to maybe some sunspots that are going on out there.
Yes, very good PSA.
Thank you.
We're glad you're all right.
Thank you, me too. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will get into the Titans coming up next. If Cam Ward is going to take the jump in year two under Brian Daboll and Robert Saleh that we all hope, what area has to improve the most? We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.